The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the one-hour express service.
Triple M.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends. We're with you right through until 9:30. I hope you can be a part of the show. You can give us a call. Any sporting issue that's on your mind, and gee whiz, there are heaps and heaps of sporting issues happening right around the globe as we speak at the moment on this rather cloudy Saturday morning, but a top of 22 degrees. So spring is really here, folks. I hope you can join us as I welcome my partner in crime this morning, the one and only former Crows champ, Rhett Biggins. Biggles, good morning, my son.
Oh, g'day, Cage.
Thanks. How are you?
I can't believe you keep having me back. But anyway, it's good to be with you because I love working with the icon of Adelaide Radio and international media, if you like. I did see a plug during the week, KG, which came up from the Port Adelaide Football Club of you introducing Nathan Buckley winning the McGarry Medal
in 1992. That's 25 bloody years ago.
I can't remember yesterday, can you?
You're right. I looked young then and 25 years
you
ago.
You did, Dapper, and you introduced Bucks, and then Bucks got on and he was fig jam from the moment he got on there.
That was a great night, actually. I remember it vividly.
I'm sure you've got some stories. We're going to get a little bit into those later on today, but also we've got a big show ahead, Cage.
Yeah, we got absolutely a ripper. We were talking to Rodney Hogg about the Australian cricket team.
No.
Fair dinkum.
Have they
copped the baking or what? They've been referred to as prima donnas. Get off their backs. Their performance
was
terrible.
Are we that bad?
No, we're not that bad. And to say because of the dispute and all this crap, I'm telling you what, Hoggy's going to be fired up today. So whatever you do, don't miss that, Rodney Hogg.
We're going to broaden our horizons as well and dive into not only sporting areas, but we're also going to dive into the world of stage and screen. Georgie Parker, the Logie Award winner, is coming on.
You're kidding me.
Oh, wrong Georgie Parker, sorry.
Hang on.
Georgie Parker, the Hockey Roo, is coming on.
Gee, I got excited from it there, Biggles.
I like Georgie Parker.
I love Georgie Parker.
Georgie Parker, the Hockey Roo, is coming on. She's just signed with the Collingwood Football Club, so she's going to talk about cross codes and what
AFL women's football. We're seeing the State of Origin game today. That is killing other sports. I reckon there's a real concern. Netball, basketball, what's it doing to our Olympic sporting people?
So that's the one, Cage, which we're going to ask Georgie about why she has cross codes. But also, Bec Goddard's going to then have her opinion in regards to why AFL Women's League is so strong, coaching the Allies tonight. She's going to join us in a few moments. So the SANFL finals are on, Cage.
Oh, I love it.
Big day.
Big day. Big doubleheader today. We'll be talking to Marty Matner from the Sturt Footy Club. They take on Port Adelaide. And I'll tell you what. Have you seen the Port Adelaide side? Fair dinkum. Why don't they just call it the Port Adelaide AFL side?
Well, they've lost 5 or 6 due to the SANFL regulations.
Well, they've still got 16.
I reckon the Blues will still push them. That'll be a belter of a game. That isn't from 3 o'clock today at the Adelaide Oval. And then prior to that, well, the Doggies have done it again. Central Districts have scraped into the SANFL finals.
But coming up, Biggles, I can't wait for this, Biggles.
What have we got?
What floats your boat and what gets up your goat?
It's been a big week, and tell you what, I'm not happy, but I'm happy about a couple of things. Happy to be working with you.
Oh, gee, Biggles. Unbelievable, that is. I don't know what to say to that.
So we just kick it off?
Hang in there. Stick around, folks. Plenty of prizes to give away as well.
Yep. Big things coming up between now and 9:30. We're off and a running, folks.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, KG and Biggles this morning.
I can't believe this, Biggles. There's been all sorts of stories going around that overnight, there's been a couple of earthquakes.
Hey, we're lucky to be here, Cage. Didn't you feel it?
I didn't feel a thing.
Oh, it was about 12 o'clock and just the earth just shook.
Oh, hang on,
Adelaide's earthquake. We're on a fault line here.
Oh, hang on. Anybody out there, any of our listeners?
I think it was up in the hills, Cage.
In the hills.
I think it was because the couple of cows up there woke up this morning and they had some milk coming out of them. And it wasn't normal milk. Yeah. It turned into a milkshake.
Yeah, good on you, Biggles. if anybody, any of our listeners were a part of feeling the earthquake.
Well, the big question is,
Cage,
if there was an earthquake, what time did Jars get out of bed to go to the bathroom? Because if he rolled out, that may have moved the earth.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, so any of our listeners witnessed the earthquake overnight, give us a call, 133-5-fee. That's our number.
Oh, well.
Okay, Biggles, are you fired up, son?
Lucky to be here. We are. Now, things that have really got up my gut.
Should I play this for me?
Yeah. On Triple M's Dead Set Legends, it's what floats your boat and what gets your goat.
Come on, Biggles, fire up.
Well,
oh, hang on, before you do, the reported earthquake.
Lit up about the earthquake.
At 4 minutes past 2, and 12 minutes past two this morning. Gee whiz.
Yeah, the magnitude of a 1.4. So that is Jars just going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, just rocking the world. Righto, what really got up my goat this week in the world of sport, and if anyone out there has got a few things they want to raise, give us a call, 133353 or at Triple M Adelaide. Get on board. But Chris Mayne's old man, Chris Mayne, obviously playing at Collingwood.
Yep.
Got traded over this year for $2 million.
Yep.
Got dropped, I reckon, round two or three after crossing over to the Pies. And tell you what, his old man has got to Twitter and had a crack at the coaching staff. One thing I hate is when people's parents, athletes' parents, get involved
on social media. But he's had a crack at Nathan Buckley, the coach of Collingwood.
Even worse.
He's had a real dip.
If your old man and all have a Twitter account and you're an elite athlete, just delete the thing off.
So you're not happy with Chris Mayne?
I'm not happy with people's parents. Athletes' parents getting on board and having a crack. The other one, who the selectors in the AFL world in regards to the now rising star at the moment. How did Sam Pepper miss this? Because I understand his stats, 17 disposals of an average, and averaging 5 tackles, but are we blindsided because we see him every week? I love the kid.
Oh, so do I. And look,
he's got Ryan Burton covered. As far as his career goes.
I just felt his form just tapered off towards the end of it.
But he was rested. That wasn't his decision.
I think it's a bit of both. I think he was rested, managed, and so forth.
That's the favouritism of the number one draft pick. As soon as you're a number one draft pick in Melbourne,
he's had a wonderful year. So you reckon he should have won it?
He's a jet. I just think the voting system wasn't right, and they look at stats too much. And I know we've probably seen more of him than they have over on the Eastern Seaboard, but I reckon he should have won that.
Okay, fair enough. You're not happy about that.
Now, I sat up and watched the Socceroos on Thursday night.
Oh, how bad were
they? I'm going over on Tuesday as well to see them play Thailand, and their game style at the moment is putrid.
But I reckon he played some players that he shouldn't have played.
Bad selections. It wasn't horses for courses.
No.
And we had our moments. We were in the midfield with space a lot of the time, and we had no spread. Our transition was just slow and deplorable, like you're getting out of the bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, Cage.
Exactly.
Very, very, just no direction at all.
For such an important game too, Biggles, if we'd have won that or got a point out of that, it would have been a lot easier.
Never beaten Japan over there, but I don't mind that. But we had so much of the ball, and I just can't watch it.
Yeah, but mainly in defence. That's where we had it.
Can't watch the Australian Socceroos at the moment. Really, really give me the irrits.
Well, I just hope they qualify, because that would be diabolical if they don't
Russia
qualify.
Russia next year. Let's hope we can. Hey, now things which put a little bit of lead in my pencil.
Okay. Righto. Way
really
you go, son.
I love this. As much as we hate them.
Who's that?
We still love them.
Who?
The Central District Footy Club.
Oh, you got to admire them.
They've done them again. I hate the Doggies, but how good are they to make the finals again?
Why do you
hate
them?
Oh, because they beat the Eagles in every grand final for about 5 or 6 years.
You're not good enough.
And I lost to a grand final when Stewie Jew beat them.
Laird's done a sensational job out
there. Great coach. I spoke to Roy Laird about a month ago and he'd written off the finals, but he may have just been saying that because it was media spin. But I tell you what, they're a great club. They know how to do it. Bad luck for the Bays, but the Doggies today take on Norwood. They're probably going to win that as well in the elimination.
Ooh, that's a toughie. Well, they beat them. They whipped them 2 weeks ago.
Great stuff from the Doggies to be there again. They continually make it to September. And the last one which floats my boat, I am loving Mitch McGovern, the Governator, sticking around. All you media people who barrack for the other mob, I tell you what, if you're going to have a crack about the culture and players sticking around, this bloke's done the right thing.
Fantastic.
And here's Mitch on signing his new contract.
Considering other options, it was pretty difficult, obviously, to go home. And there was quite a few options available. And I think this is the best for my career going forward and where we are today.
Fantastic by Mitch McGovern.
People
and,
have been potting the Adelaide Footy Club for the last 2 months, saying everyone leaves, Kane Johnson leaves, you get all these guns.
Well, we have lost a few players.
Yeah,
like Dangerfield's gone too.
The culture and it's strong enough there, and it's great to see McGovern, the Governator, sticking around.
I just wonder how much pressure now is on young Jake Lever.
Don't worry about it. He'll stay too, Cage.
Oh, I don't know about that. Good on you. Good on your Biggles there. If you want to have a crack at Biggles about it, anything he's had a crack at there.
Well, more importantly, what's really irked you this week or anything you've loved as well? Give us a call, 133353 or at Triple M Adelaide.
Full marks to Dusty Martin too for staying. He turned his back on 2 million. It's good to see some loyalty being shown by the players.
Bad luck for the Tigers going out in straight sets.
How Mickey Mouse was that announcement? Fair dinkum. $50,000 allegedly for that.
Not bad. Good biscuits.
It's gone absolutely bunter. No doubt about that.
Hey, we might have a call as well. Someone, I reckon Anthony from North Plimpton? No, we're just having trouble with the phones at the moment. But if you've got a couple of things you want to get across to us about what's made you happy this week in the world of sport, give us a call.
Yep. Okay, 133-53 is our number. As I said, we've got a big program. Rodney Hogg coming up a little later. We've got the overnight scoreboard. We've got Beck Goddard, who's coaching the Allies on the state of... Saturday morning, Dead Set Legends. Oh, this rather cloudy Saturday morning, but it's great to be with you until 9:30. If you want to be a part of the show, just jump on the old phone, give us a call. Plenty of things to talk about. I don't mind telling you, folks. In fact, we'll go to the phones right off.
Let's go to Dave from Glenelg.
G'day, Dave.
Hey, boys.
Morning, Dave.
Boys, I think Australian cricket was brought to its knees this week. After the cricket circus that we've just been through in the previous month with their new agreement, wouldn't you think that there'd be clauses within there, boys, that, you know, would be performance-based?
Look,
a good point.
No, hang on. I'm angry at this. If you read yesterday's advertiser,
they're not performing, Chris.
Yeah, hang on. If you read yesterday's, and I'm the first to criticise them, no doubt about that. That performance in Bangladesh was very, very ordinary. But if you picked up yesterday's advertiser, an article by Robert Craddock, who knows his cricket, and he's saying that. Joe Public says the Australian cricketers are prima donnas. That's not the case.
That's perception.
Perception's wrong here. They did not, and they're referring to the fact that the pay dispute, everybody's saying, or most people are saying, that the players wanted more money. That wasn't the case. They wanted protection for the players coming through at domestic level.
Well, let's ask Dave, what's your thoughts on how they're performing? Obviously, Matthew Wade not up to standard.
Well, mate, they turn around and they say, rah, 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 you know, we didn't get enough practice, we didn't get enough. This is what irritates me. It doesn't matter which ground you go to in Australia now, right? They're all drop-in pitches, right? So it's not as if you used to go to the Adelaide Oval and the team back in
Dave.
He's right.
No, he's not right. David Warner made the point when he was asked umpteen times.
Dave Warner, up until this test match,
yes,
on overseas missions,
had been ordinary.
Nine. Now, in closing, boys, I just want to say something, as Bits just said, ask my opinion. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Mm-hmm.
No,
right?
But David, you are wrong, Dave, with all due respect, my friend.
Okay. We beg to differ, but anyway, guys, have a great day.
Righto, Dave.
Great call, Dave.
See, perception's wrong here.
You can only judge them on performance.
Well, hang on.
They've got to be accountable, Cage.
Of course they do. Their performance.
It's an Australian representative side. And whilst people go straight for the easy target in Matty Wade, and then we say, well, imagine if Alex Carey had played in the Australian A2, he would have got more of a... So we're holding selectors accountable, or we're holding players accountable?
Exactly right. But please don't say the pay dispute caused what happened in Bangladesh.
It harmed their performance.
Sorry?
It harmed their performance, too. Preparation was terrible.
If you listen to the players, David Warner made it quite clear the pay dispute had no effect on our performance here.
Of course he's going to say
that. And that's
a
cop-out. It's an absolute cop-out. We've got Dan of Pasadena. Good morning, Dave.
Dan, how are you, mate? How are you?
I'm getting irate now. Good day, Dan.
Hey, I just did a bit of research this morning and just quickly found out that I realised that KG was the reason why the earthquake happened last night.
Why is that?
You've clearly rolled over in the middle of the night and knocked your wallet off the bedside table.
I wish.
Where are you going with this? Is that the punchline? it's as bad as mine if it is.
I knew you'd love it, Biggles. Hey, quickly, fellas, Port Adelaide finals footy next weekend.
Yes, yep.
I go to all the Port home games every year. I'm always worried about playing West Coast in Adelaide because we are yet to beat them at Adelaide Oval.
You'll smash them.
Hey, Dan, West Coast supporters are super confident.
Hey, Dan, how do you feel about no footy this weekend?
I'm devastated.
Oh, I know. I
sat down last night in front of the TV and was like, what the hell am I supposed to watch? I was in bed at 7:30.
Hey, didn't you watch this EJ Whitney game?
No, there's no point. It's not worth anything. So what's the point?
A couple of tweets have come through as well. There's one early this morning from Erica H at Triple M Adelaide, just letting us know that the earthquake hit. And then at 2:27, the other one hit as well. So the windows rattled and the doors shook.
That's a bit of a concern. The magnitude was 1.4. Gee whiz. So I just hope that everybody's okay.
Seriously.
And there's no damage
Come on.
To...
Hey, no, we should, 1.4.
We shouldn't make light of an earthquake. An earthquake's a bloody earthquake.
Enough. Yeah, righto. We'll get serious.
Was there one way back in 1950?
I don't know. Who knows? You might be the only one who can remember that, KJ. Stick around. You. Rodney Hogg is going to join us, and he's going to have a real crack at the Australian Test selectors. Beck Goddard, the coach of the Allies. Marty Matner, coach of the Sturt Footy Club. And Georgie Parker on her conversion from a hockey roo to a AFL women's player.
It's Dead Set Legends. KG and Biggles, 104.7, Triple M.
Yes, Biggles and KG with you right through until 9.30. And, of course, the big talking point throughout the week has been the ordinary performance, and that's been kind by the Australian cricket team when they went down to Bangladesh. Let's welcome to the program now to get his thoughts on what went wrong and what's happening. The one and only, one of the great fast bowlers for Australia of all time, Rodney Hogg. Hoggy, welcome to the show.
Very early for you, KG.
Mate, never too early for me, Hoggy. When you used to bounce the crap out of me at the Prospect Oval, try and knock my head off, then abuse me. I remember those days, Hoggy.
The first
How are you? Anyway, good day, Brett. How are you going?
Good.
Good thing. Now, Hoggy, we've been the Australian cricketers have been referred to as prima donnas, all sorts of things. How do you explain a performance like that?
Well, what do you mean a performance like that? We were beaten in Bangladesh.
Yes.
We weren't beaten up in Sydney or Brisbane. They're a very, very good side at home, aren't they?
Bangladesh.
They're in their home ground. The temperatures are, we've got the cyclones or hurricanes.
Monsoons.
Or whatever. Monsoons coming up pretty shortly. So it's probably the wrong time of the year to take an Australian cricket team there, but you've got to try and fit these tours in.
Yep.
And I thought they played extremely well. And that little Shakib Al-Hassan, what a superstar. He came in at 3 for 10. He makes 84 and he takes 2 5-fers. What a superstar. The only criticism I'd have for the Australian cricket team is we don't seem to be able to occupy the crease. Our batsmen, again, we saw a couple of series back in India when Peter Siddle seemed to be able to bat far longer than most of the batsmen. Again, we've seen with Cummins batted for 90 balls in the first, batted a lot longer than six of our batsmen. Second innings, he batted for 99 balls, a lot longer than six batsmen. So, to me, the best time to bat is against a new ball in these conditions. And when you come in as a, say, 9, 10, 11, you've come in, the team's in a lot of trouble. Everyone's around the bat and they're all screaming in their own little language. And you've got no chance of making any runs. And yet, Cummins is able to hang around. So, I just felt that the batting And this isn't a preparation for the Ashes. I keep hearing there's a lot of crap gets written in the papers. I'm hearing this is a tour to Bangladesh. Now, why is Khawaja batting at 3? He's proved
he
in
can't
Australia.
Play watch, spin.
I watched him in Australia. I see him batting at T20. He's a superstar. I think he walks out as if he's going to make 100. He walks out in a Shield game in Australia. He walks out in these conditions, and he doesn't look like he's going to make a run. So he proved on two tours to Sri Lanka, he can't flat bat against spin. He can't come out against it. And he's done it now. He should be dropped this next test.
Why was he taken to Bangladesh? He was dropped from the Indian side, and they sent him to Bangladesh.
Well, I'm trying to work out a lot of selections, KG. Trying to work out why. Now, what's the kid call is, we're going through all these spinners, and there's a lot to talk about there, but I watched this kid, Holland, get called up for a Sri Lankan game. I think O'Keefe got injured, and Holland came in, and I thought, this is last year. And I thought, he helped win a Shield. So he comes in, and I thought, he's a bit overweight, and he's having a bit of trouble. There's not much going on there. So I wrote him off. I thought, Holland's no good. Then he comes out this last Shield season and takes 50 wickets and an average of 19, which is unheard of by a left-arm spinner in Australia. Well, helps win the Shield and the Vicks have won at 3. I know I'm pushing up a Victorian, but he deserves the right to be looked at because he 50 wickets at 19-20 is incredible on our wickets. Then he rocks up to the Darwin, bowls the pants off everybody up there, takes 4 wickets on no one else can get a wicket up there hardly. He takes 4 wickets in 10 balls against the best batsman. Why wouldn't he be over? He didn't go. Didn't get selected. They went for Agar. But then they want to go, and I think they should be going for 3 spinners in their next test match. Why don't they call Holland up? They call up O'Keefe, who wasn't up in Darwin.
Yep.
So he's not prepared for this little trip. The bloke who goes over, I think, will go straight into the team in place of Hazelwood. So why wouldn't you be taking Holland? I mean, this is there's a lot of mates rates here, and I'll have a bit of a go. I'm not going to have a go at Head because he's a bloody good cricketer, but I saw Head last summer in the one-dayers, got all the spin bowling. They didn't bowl Maxwell one delivery in all the one-dayers.
Yep.
I don't think Head's a great... He's not a potential test match bowler. And I don't know if Maxwell is, but I knew we were going to India, and I thought, well, Maxwell's a fair chance to get selected. The captain doesn't bowling for one delivery, so there's no preparation. So Maxwell, to me, where's Maxwell? So there's a lot of little... I reckon it's mates. And now O'Keefe gets called up because he's Smith's mate, I assume... And off he goes. So there's selections over there that just aren't adding up. And Booth's got to be under pressure here. Booth Lehman's got to be under pressure because we aren't winning too much.
I agree.
True. I hear where you're coming from there. We're joined by former Australian Test cricketer Rodney Hogg. Hey, Hoggy, also, where does Nathan Lyon sit in your mind now? Passing over the 250 mark, up there with the greats of Daniel Vittori and Graham Swan. Is he? Where do you rate him?
Well, for you to be asking that question really answers it, doesn't it? Because 250 wickets.
But you think about the decks that he's played on, though. Is he that good?
KG, when did Ashley Mallett, when was he considered a star? After his 40th test wicket?
Yeah, exactly.
This bloke's taken 250 and we're just starting to stage a star. It's unbelievable the amount of wickets that bloke's had to take Lyon before we've started. Oh, hang on, we've got a superstar here.
Well, he is a superstar. Mm. There's no question. Anybody who takes 250 test wickets is a superstar. There's no doubt about it. But what about our keeper, Matthew Wade? Fair dinkum, Boggy.
Gone, I think, because he's just he's over there. He's in the team. He's probably not the best keeper in Australia, but they reckon he's a star batsman.
Alex Carey would buy and sell him.
Well, the lights are on him now. He's the deer. We had a poor deer running along the freeway here in Melbourne.
But he's the whipping boy.
I'll go rabbits. He's a rabbit. He's got the spotlights on him, hasn't he? He's just he's like Khawaja. He's going out there now. He doesn't know how. If you're not confident in these sort of conditions, it's all very well when you go out in a first class game in Australia on a flat wicket. You might be a bit out of form, and you can fight your way back. But if you're not in form going on these sort of pitches, you're gone.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the captaincy? I'll just go to the captaincy here. It's a spinner's wicket. Ago bowls three overs up to tee on the first day. Three overs up to tee. I mean, we kid ourselves. Our fast bowlers, they work really hard. It's like we've just bought a brand new Rolls Royce because Cummins is the Rolls Royce of Australia. We're driving it around the Nullarbor.
Good on you, Hoggy. Thanks for your time, Rodney. Rodney Hogg, there, outspoken. And I totally agree with him, but I won't wear the fact that our cricketers have been called prima donnas. That's an absolute
rating on performance.
No,
30 buys for Matty Wade is not a great performance. Let's hope that Alex Carey breaks through after breaking the Shield record last year.
He will buy and sell him, but gee whiz. And I agree with Hoggy. Smith's captaincy at times...
Still learning the craft, though, Cage.
It still worries me a bit. Absolutely worries me. Okay, you can give us a call, folks. Your thoughts on the performance of the Australian cricketers. Are they prima donnas? I don't think they are. People are now saying, all they want is money, 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 money. That's not the issue at all. We're talking cricket this morning momentarily. Your thoughts on the Australian cricket team, Nathan Lyon. Over 250 test wickets, has to be up there as one of the all-time greats.
Just chatting with Rodney Hogg in regards to where he sits as the all-time greats. And KG, you're of the opinion that he is up there.
A lot of
Australian punters, though.
Well, they're wrong. Because anybody who takes, any spin bowler who takes 250 test wickets is a superstar.
Well, you think about the programming, though, lot of these test matches, Cage. If they're going to be put on subcontinents and they're going to be playing against Bangladesh where I could turn it 3 metres.
Yeah, but that's the first time we've put them in 11 years.
Well, what about every time we've gone over and played Sri Lanka on a pitch that's been absolutely deplorable?
Yeah.
So he's in the category of Vittori and Graham Swan. He replaces Richie Beno. So you're saying he's a better cricketer than Richie Beno?
Well, he's a... Let me rephrase.
This is where statistics lie, Cage. This is what the argument is.
No. Richie Beno was a leg spinner. Nathan Lyon's an off
spinner. All-time great bowlers. The 250 club consists of blokes who, I think, Brett Lee, Mitch Johnson's in there, Glenn McGrath, DK Lilly. He's in that bracket of bowler.
He is. And deserves to be.
And you're
be
saying
there.
He deserves to be.
Naturally.
A lot of punters out there disagree.
Well, they're wrong. If anybody who takes 250 test wickets is a superstar.
Compare the sides which these guns, DK and that, have played against versus what Ryan has gone up against.
You can only take wickets who you play against, Biggles. That's
but this is
fault.
The scheduling of these games. Well, should it be factored into these statistics? Because he's going to go down as one of the greats.
He is. Has to. Let's take Steve Moore for Vale. G'day, Steve.
Hey, g'day, boys. How are you? Love your show. You play a lot of cricket, KG. I think we've got a lot of players in our test side that just can't hold an end up. Like in the old days, you used to have, you know, everyone used to hate boycott, but at least you used to hold up one end and tire out the bowlers. We got too many one-day cricketers, I reckon, playing in our test side. And why can't we play spin in the subcontinent?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. They've tried every conceivable thing and, you know, we've only got a handful of players that are good enough to play spin. Warner, Smith and those blokes. Other than that, we struggle like you wouldn't believe.
But you've played a lot of cricket, KG. And I was always taught I played a lot of cricket too. When spin bowling, you come down and meet the ball before it has a chance to spin.
Yep.
All our batsmen just stay in the crease. The ball keeps low because you know there's no grass on the wicket, so the ball's going to keep low. And our boys get trapped LBW every time of the week.
But let me say to you, some of those wickets in Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and India are an absolute disgrace. And to think, for the second test, there is talk that Australia will only play one fast bowler.
You're going to open with a spinner again?
That is an absolute...
You're the one that was just saying that these matches you can only play with what you've got.
Well, I know, but this is making a mockery of Test cricket. Look, so if Stark and Hazlewood were both available for the second Test, one wouldn't get a game. That's a joke.
A great way to get us started. We'll go out to Steve from Morfitt Vale. We've had Steve. Sorry, Peter from North Adelaide.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good Peter.
KG, I grew up in the 70s with Lillian Marsh, and cricket used to be, as we all know, where those pitches were so different. You know, Adelaide Oval spun, and Perth was, you know, like a trampoline, and that was the brilliance of the cricket. Today, everybody's obviously said a drop in pitches. Well, it staggers me why we don't go back to that sort of system and not play at Adelaide Oval and the MCG and those sorts of places. We played games at Glenelg Oval and North Sydney Oval. Surely they're not drop-in pitches, so they're going to have some greater variance about it. Bring Shield cricket out into the masses.
Alice Springs, just done that.
Sorry,
we're playing out of Alice, we did that, Pete.
Well, there we go. Why don't we find some local grounds, because you know crowd size ain't going to be a problem, where these young guys can show a bit of talent on pitches that are different from the stock standard drop-in, because we'll go down the road and it would be another 5 or 10 years. They have the same problem. We'll win at home and we won't win anywhere else.
Well,
we can't.
Peter,
we can't play in South Africa.
Let me say this to you: that the sooner the ICC, the controlling body of world cricket, shows some good old fashioned balls,
ghoulies, plums,
and get somebody like a Les Burdett, who was the curator of the Adelaide Oval. The wickets that have been prepared in Bangladesh, India, are an absolute bloody disgrace. And to back that up...
It's going to happen. They're only interested in cash, not...
Well, that's my point.
You don't have to pay Les too much. You don't have to put the keg
The issue is here that the ICC, who have never shown balls in their life, they're a catastrophe, should stand up and say to these countries, India's running it. India's running cricket. Say to these countries, we are taking control, and not get to a situation where, come the second test on Monday, that they'll just take one fast bowler into a test match. That is a bloody joke.
I agree, KG, but the point is that they can turn around and say the same thing to us, because we're doing the same thing to cricket here by putting in the same drop-in pitches that play the same everywhere. It's the same issue. Everybody's killing cricket, and we're doing it for the cash.
Well,
nice point, Pete. We're trying to open on Twitter as well, Cage. What does Cricket Australia need to do to ensure the win against Bangladesh Tigers in the second test? And Robert Cook has got on board and said, well, just play cricket, that'd help. And maybe Chad Sayers. Hey, we mentioned as well before about Matty Wade, the whipping boy, Cage.
Yes. No, he's not the whipping boy.
Well, no, I agree.
Let's be brutally honest here, Biggles.
Where's he at? Yep.
No, it's not where he's at. If you're honest with yourself, unfortunately... He's not good enough.
He's not at the level. So, okay, so then we look at what we've got to deal with. Okay, now we know Alex Carey is a superstar. We see him week in, week out.
He's not a superstar yet.
Well, he broke the Shield record, and probably needs more runs, though, doesn't he? At 26 years of age. Probably just needs a few more runs.
He can bat.
And he's just, we think about what he's done so far, just the fourth player in Shield history to pass 500 runs and 50 catches.
Yep.
The Australia A2 robbed him. Absolutely robbed
Correct.
Him because he couldn't go to South Africa because of money, again, which was Pete's point. Money ruined the game. If he had gone there, he would have got a run, could have shown his skills, and may have got a run.
And let me tell you, the culprit there was the CEO of Cricket Australia, James Sutherland.
Your mate.
No, he did not get involved in the dispute until right at the end.
He was on his private jet in an England cage. He couldn't get back.
What does that say to you?
Yeah, not interested.
And now the players are copying it in the bloody neck for what's going on.
All of those player great calls, they've all gone into the specific prize pack today, which is one you love, Cage. Free tickets to the show.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. So, two of those to give away.
Jump on the phone. We've got some free tickets to the show to give away. We had a big hour coming up too, I can tell you. Woo-hoo. We'll talk to Beck Goddard, who's coaching the Allies in the first women's AFLW State of Origin.
Yep, Georgie Parker, not the Logie winning Georgie Parker, the Georgie Parker, who's now signed with the Collingwood Football Club, is going to join us and talk about why she deferred. And also,
Marty Matner,
the Moose, is going to talk us through SA NFL finals.
Big couple of finals at the Adelaide Oval today. Stay with us, folks, for a big hour coming your way.
You're on with KG and Biggles, Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Big game kicking off, and a lot of athletes are changing codes these days, Cage. And I tell you what, the following of the AFL women's game is just massive at the moment, and it's taking some athletes away from other sports. And we've been good enough to be joined by a former Hockey Roo. Well, she played 100 games for Australia, Silver Commonwealth Games medalist, and also at the World Cup. Georgie Parker joins us. G'day, Georgie. How are you?
Hello, Red. I actually got a gold medal at the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, come on, Biggles. Get into him, Georgie. Get into him.
I thought you won silver. Apologies
for
that.
Do your research, mate. Come on.
I went off the top of my head. Hey, you've just signed with Collingwood to go into the Women's League. Now, this is a big move for you. Obviously, you played in Belgium. I do remember that. But you've gone to play AFL, given up your career in hockey. What's the reason for the decision?
Well, I'd actually stopped playing international stuff as it is, and I guess I gave up my club career over in Europe to play for the Mighty Pies, which was a really big decision for me. I guess I'd said in interviews for years, actually, that if AFL was available for me as a kid, then I probably would have not ever picked up a hockey stick. So to get the opportunity to play a sport that I've loved my entire life, I just couldn't really say no. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to learning the new sport.
Georgie, that's interesting. What effect is AFL women's football going to have on sports like hockey, netball? What effect down the track in, say, 5 years' time will it have on our elite athletes who want to go to the Olympic Games that may, in fact, change their mind?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Look, it's going to be really huge in a lot of those sort of grassroots sort of sports, the ones that aren't yet professional, I guess, the ones that don't get paid huge money. I mean, we're lucky enough in Australia that we do get quite a good amount of funding from the government, and we do have our own major sponsors. But, you know, it's not going to be the money that hopefully the AFL women's will get in 5 years' time. So it's one of those things that, do you want to go to the Olympics? And that's going to be the only thing that's going to drive women to play hockey instead of football, I guess. Netball, I guess, is always going to be big in Australia. It's the women's sport for Australia is netball. But football, I think, is going to change the game dramatically. I think the codes in other sports are going to have to really start looking after their athletes really well. Otherwise, they're going to change to football because the growth in that's going to be huge.
Unbelievable.
Well, how much of it, Georgie, is the fact, obviously, you're going to play in front of big crowds now. We saw 24,500 at Princess Park. So there's the lure of the crowd, but also how hard is it to drive towards the Olympics with that struggle for money to come in and now the money that you'll receive for being an elite athlete?
Yeah. I guess the thing with hockey is that we get to travel around the world. And I mean, we like I said, we were pretty highly funded, but it's very much performance based. So if we don't perform well, then we don't get any money. So when you're struggling, when I first got into the Hockey Roos, we were eighth in the world, we were getting no money. When we started getting second in the world, that's when we started getting money. But, you know, when you're not doing well and you're not getting any money, it's really, really hard to be getting up at 5 a.m. every day, working two jobs, studying as well. So it is really, really hard, but you do have this goal of you're going overseas, you're going to be traveling, you're going to go to the World Cups, the Commonwealth Games and the Olympics. So I guess there's a goal, very goal-driven. But football, I guess, until it's going to be a professional program in no time. I've got no doubt about that. So that cash, I mean, you don't want to do it for the cash, but the cash definitely does help you that you spend more time on it.
Just listening to you now, I'm really concerned about down the track, because we do pride ourselves in our performances at the Olympic Games and all this and that. That's going to fall away dramatically if the amount of interest continues as is at the moment with the AFL women's football. That's a real concern, and surely the administrators of the other sports now have to get off their backside, Georgie, and do something
absolutely
about it and pay our athletes. Like, for argument's sake, when you started in hockey, there was no money. Now there should be money there now, surely.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to be crying poor all the time.
No.
But, you know, absolutely. That's what I said earlier. The sporting codes all need to be starting to pick up what they're doing, whether it's the rugby girls, whether it's the hockey, whether it's, I don't know, any sort of Olympic sport, like I said, the grassroots sports that aren't yet professional. If they don't pick up their game and match what the football's doing, then it's going to be really, really hard to continue for those sports. I guess Cricket Australia is leading the way with that, with what they're doing. And
correct,
they're lucky enough to be able to piggyback off the men with the cash that they've got. But they're going to grow the women's sport, and it's something that Cricket Australia and I guess the Players Association very much so in the last payment sort of debacle that they had is really pushed for that. So, and, you know, I've written articles about this saying, you know, people want to watch women's sports. They just need the opportunity to be able to see it. So it's for them now to pick up their game and sort of match what the AFL are doing. So the AFL women's, are, you know, really, I guess, benefit from that. And then all the other sports are going to do it too if they follow on in what they're doing.
It's great to see the type of athletes change over, Georgie, as like Sally Riley did after 18 years of netball, became a Crow. But you're a Crow supporter. And you're playing for Collingwood.
Oh, Georgie, what are you doing?
What's going on?
I know. My parents have disowned me. It's
we all have, don't worry. Have you learned how to speak Collingwood language yet?
Oh, no, I've got all my teeth, so it's hard to listen up. But I guess for me, I'm a journalism student, and Collingwood is
too educated for that down there.
they've given me a job in the media department, and I couldn't say no to work within the biggest and most professional club, I guess, in Australia. And also, the opportunities in Melbourne are endless. So I had to, branch out a little bit. It was a tough decision, very, very tough decision. But I'm looking forward to working with the coaching staff and the club itself over there.
Well, good luck, Georgie. All the very best. I'm not going to wish Collingwood all the best, but personally, I enjoy it. And when you play the Crows, we'll kick your backside, Georgie, without a doubt.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming on. Hey, stick around.
This is an issue. Because we pride ourselves on our performances at the Commonwealth and Olympic Games as a country our size. If this continues, this momentum continues
to... So much hard work at the Olympics for little reward
That's exactly right.
In particular, the swimmers.
You can't blame the young girls that will change their focus and go to footy.
Think about Bakara Palmer. She went to a couple of Olympics. Now, Georgie was just at the Rio Olympics. Bakara Palmer, as a volleyballer, went to, I think, one or two Olympics and now struggles to find her place in where she needs to work. It's hard for those who commit so much their lives.
Well, it's amazing. My granddaughter, Hunter, goes to Henley High.
Great school.
Great school. But the amount of young girls that are now playing football is amazing. They had a whole day here about 6 weeks ago where they had a carnival, women's young girls carnival, and I was staggered by the amount of young girls that are now playing football. This is a real, real concern.
Stick around. Bet Goddard's going to talk us through the Allies game tonight, which again is taking primetime TV on Fox Sports.
What does that say?
Encouraging more athletes to get involved.
Good luck to them.
Also, Marty Matter just after the break as well. All the SANFL finals action coming to you from the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, and you can give us a call, folks, on that particular issue. How do you feel about The AFL women's sort of
footy. You worried about our women's performance at the next Olympics after that?
Yeah, give us a call. Look, the issue here, we just spoke to Georgie Parker, who was played hockey for Australia. She's now joining the Collingwood AFL women's competition. Is the women's football competition going to kill other sports like hockey, like netball, like basketball?
Not only kill other sports, our performance at the Olympics.
Well, that's the same
and
thing.
At World Cups.
Exactly.
That's where we're worried.
Is it going to have a decided effect on women's sport? 133353 is our number. Give us a call. It's a very, very interesting issue. David of Salisbury. Morning, David.
How you going, boys?
Yeah, good. Thanks, David.
Good, Dave.
I don't think the women's AFL is going to take over, only purely because when you've got to start paying for it, people aren't going to rock up, I don't think.
Interesting.
But hang on, David. On that issue, it's prime time television tonight. Did you ever?
Yeah, and it's also free tickets. I want to talk about the games that the girls are playing grand finals at Thurby Oval tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we've got to pay $10 to go and watch our daughter play.
Is that for amateurs tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the netball contacts grand final last night, whether they charged to get in there either, but that's a good point. You raise the issue of if you let them in for free, you're going to get the more support.
It's the same as
at Randwick Racecourse. Yeah, put a cheaper price on food and you'll get more punters.
I understand that, but the issue here is now that it's become so popular that it's on prime time TV. Now, what would netball...
Yeah, but is that just because it's like a novelty thing at the moment?
Well, that's the issue. What would netball, what would hockey... a give to get prime time television coverage.
Oh, well, maybe they should give away free tickets as well then.
Well, giving away free tickets is not the issue here. It's prime time television. Their ability to get prime time.
What are you saying? You've got to give away the TV, right? So, David, do you like it, the actual game itself, women's football?
I've watched bits and pieces of it. I just don't think that when... all the hype dies down in a couple of years' time and you start charging people to get in, they're going to keep turning up.
Yeah, but the other issue is here that they're going to get paid. Look at the women's cricketer. They've got a huge pay rise. That's going to have effect on netball, basketball, hockey. Huge effect, whereby you don't have to work your butt off for 5 years. As Georgie said, when she started to play hockey, she got no money.
It's the question of whether or not, is this the Uber or the Airbnb? It's a new product, obviously, that hasn't been around for that long. It's been around for 5 or 6 years. Are we adjusting to this, or a Bitcoin? Are we adjusting to something which is completely revolutionary
in the
right way?
I don't think our athletes in the past have been paid anywhere near enough with their particular sports.
John from Mount Compass joins us. Welcome to Dead Set Legends.
Oh, no, how are things?
Yeah, good, John.
Yeah, what I'd like to bring up is the fact that you've got AFL for the men's, you've got rugby union, you've got rugby league,
yep.
And that hasn't affected the Olympics or any of the other sports for the men's. So just because we've got another sport for the women, I can't see why it would affect all sports for things like the Olympics.
It's only new though, John. We're not going to see the effects of the performance at the Olympics for another 4 years.
Well, there is that, but... you will always find there are a lot of women out there, especially in the states where Aussie rules footy isn't such a big thing.
John, I can tell you, as I said a moment ago, I went to Henley High where my granddaughter goes, and the interest from young girls in football is enormous. It's just gone woof, like a big bushfire.
And this could be the time when they were dedicated to rowing or netball.
Exactly. That's a good example, because with the girls have got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning for no pay and go and row on the lake.
For a snotty nose and
exactly,
frozen knees.
Whereby they can go and play cricket and be well remunerated for what they're doing.
But is that any different to those men who have to go out there, and the boys who have to go out there rowing at 7 o'clock in the morning?
We're talking about women's sport here. We're talking about what effect is AFL women's football going to have on women's sport like hockey, netball, basketball. It's going to have, unless those other codes do something, it'll affect it enormously.
Oh, the other codes will definitely have to do something, but at the same time, they need to be able to get the money from, like, the TV sponsorship rights and spectators and everything else like that. We can't just constantly go on about the government funding.
Well,
very educated point, John. We're throwing it open on our Twitter line as well. Will women's football kill other women's sports? At the moment on our Twitter poll, 17%, I should say, yes, it will take over. 83% no, other sports are safe.
See, I reckon we're being complacent here. I'm honestly serious about this.
Just on that.
I've seen the momentum.
I did give a shout out as well before to the SA Premier League netball, the grand final last night where Contacts overcame Matrix 59-50, and the price of a ticket entry there will get on our Twitter feed as well. That was a great point before from our caller. If you don't charge people, how long will this last? No, if you start charging them to go to a game,
that's not the issue. What would the netball final have given to get prime time TV? Yeah. That's the issue.
That's just state league, though. But you're right.
Well, it doesn't matter. Mm. It does, and there lies the issue. Prime time television. The ratings were enormous, and if other sports are complacent, they'll get their bum booted. I tell you, right here and now.
Hope not. Let's hope our Olympic athletes keep that dream alive.
And of course, a big game today in Melbourne. Can you believe it? I never ever thought this would happen, but it's absolutely fantastic. The State of Origin, when the Allies take on Victoria in the AFL Women's Association. Let's welcome to the program now a young lady who led the Crows to the inaugural premiership last year. A fantastic job. Beck, welcome to the show.
Morning, you two. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Beck. Hey, Beck, congratulations. Did you ever, ever, in your wildest dreams, believe that this will be happening, a State of Origin in women's football in prime time?
Absolutely not. There's no way. There's no way I thought that, you know. I had really lucky to, be part of the inaugural AFLW season, but now that, you know, that's happened and it's been such a success, the AFL realises that there's a huge market. People want to watch it, and they've made the right call, and they've put on the best versus the best tonight.
Unbelievable.
Good luck tonight, Beck. Yeah. How are you going to take on one of your weapons?
We're going to knock
them off.
Your
biggest weapons. No, Tex Perkins. You're coaching against one of your guns. What do you do there?
Oh, look, we hope the Allies are going to win tonight, but I also hope that Perko kicks six. So we'll be happy if she kicks six, but we still get the win. We think that's a pretty good result for Adelaide.
Now, Beck, exactly right, I like that. Beck, how passionate are you to beat the Big White V? Because I don't like the Big White V.
Who does? I mean, we've been talking the last couple of days about turning the Big V upside down and putting a line through the middle of it, which gives you an A, the A for the Mighty Allies. So that's the plan, guys. You know, like growing up, in sort of before women's football was professional, I remember 16 years ago playing in Canberra against the likes of Debbie Lee, who's coaching Big V tonight.
Yep.
And, the difference between winning and losing was about 30, 35 goals. That fire burns like the passion of a thousand suns. And all of the girls that we've got this weekend certainly know those stories. They remember the dark, dark past. And we're hoping to right some wrongs from seasons gone.
Yeah, beautiful.
Hey, Beck, we were joined by Georgie Parker just a few moments ago, who spoke about her defection from being an Olympic athlete to becoming an AFL women's player. It rattled a few people who called in. Your honest thoughts, do you think that women's sport in regards to Olympic athletes down the track are going to be affected by those who are now making women's football their number one priority?
No, look, I don't. I think that women, it's great that women can have a choice at whatever sport they want to play now and get paid for it. As a woman in sport who's been involved for my entire life, I'd love to see them get a full-time wage wherever they can work. We're really lucky at Adelaide that we've got a roster, you know, Anne Hatchard and Jenna McCormick, who come from other sports, that they want to continue being the best they can be. And I will do whatever I can in the limited time that we get them each week to be the best at each of their sports until such time that they have to make a choice when they do finally one day get a full-time wage. So it's all about choice, and women should be able to choose whatever they want to do.
I agree. And Becca, it may make the other sports get up and running and be more proactive, if that's at all possible, to look after the girls that are going into the world of hockey or rowing or whatever, for goodness
sake. I hope so. You know, it's been a bit of a wake-up call for some of them.
Exactly.
you know, they had it, they did have, you know, the WNBL, for example, had television rights for obviously all those. I grew up watching the WNBL and loved it. You know, my idols played the sport, watching Michelle Timms,
Sammy Woos, one of my favourite
things. Yeah. Exactly, on a Saturday afternoon. And, you know, and even the great Laura Hodges is still playing today.
Yeah.
But I hope that sports really, you know, value that. The WNBL is back on telly this year, and we're very grateful for the support that we've gotten from the AFL. But they wanted to do it right, and they wanted to make up for the 159 years that they didn't have a competition for women, and they certainly have in season one.
Yeah, good on you. Beck, how passionate are the girls, and how nervous are the girls about today's game?
They're treating it just like they did AFLW season one. I lay awake all night while I'm thinking about the game today, guys. You know, as a coach, you don't change your way that you prepare. You know, we went and had a look at the EJ Witten game last night, which obviously is a bit of a, you know, a bit more of a laid back affair, and it's to support a good cause. But it was great of the AFL to put that curtain raiser on for us that Eddie had tonight. And we're certainly serious about putting the best show of women's football with an Allies win tonight and getting more people supporting the AFLW.
What about the partisan crowd tonight? They'll be very, very pro. The Vicks, are you concerned about that? Becca, it obviously get away to a good start and just quieten the crowd down.
That's the plan. You know, we've got some really, really powerful forwards playing for the Allies in Taylor Harris, Katie Brennan and Sabrina Frederick-Traub, as well as, you know, Jessica Sedgenary coming in off that half forward line. So we think that we're going to kick some super goals tonight, guys. They're changing the rules for season two, we expect.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you watch Katie Brennan let fly with a couple outside of 40 tonight, and that'll be a couple of great 9 pointers to start us off.
You know, I never thought I'd be talking about this, Beck, being perfectly honest about young women kicking torps and doing this. I love it. I think it's fantastic. It's just taken the sporting world by storm. Beck, good luck tonight. Don't let the Vicks beat us. I don't like the big white V. I respect
none
it,
of us
but
do.
I don't like
none
it.
Of us do.
Exactly. Good luck tonight. Get away to a flyer, Beck.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Beck. Beck Goddard, the coach of the Allies tonight, and I hope they kick the backsides of the big white V. I can tell you right here and now.
Well, we will stay on the footy topic just after the break because the All-Australian selection came in this week, Cage.
Bloody big sauce. How did he not get in that side?
Hold your fire.
No, I'm not going to hold my fire.
Because
I'm
we want to get into it in a bit more depth and, more importantly, get the punters' thoughts on who missed out and
Joel
who they're happy Sell, with.
How did he get in?
Oh, I know, he took me through it. Yo, anyway, we'll get there. Stick around. Dead Set Legends.
And tennis fans, Serena Williams has just given birth to a baby girl. There you go.
Oh, well done, Serena. Congratulations. A little girl.
Yep. And she came out and gave a foot fault.
Hope she can play tennis. Want your thoughts on how you saw the selection of the All-Australian side. Who was lucky to make it? Who was unlucky to miss out? Your thoughts on the All-Australian side, which was named...
Well, the powers that be got together, and obviously the likes of Gil McLaughlin, KB, Darce, Jacko, and our old mate No Shoulders, Warren Treadray, they... watch every game throughout the year.
Yep.
They then have their voting opinion on who they think, and they get together around a round table and they try and convince the others at that table who gets in the Australian side. I think that's the quick summary of maybe wrong, but that's the quick summary of how it's selected. Now, I think that often some of those selectors might put out a little bit of a petition, very Donald Trump-like, to get a couple of their blokes in. And when I'm looking at Elliot Yeo from the West Coast Eagles...
How did he get in front of Josh Kennedy? Well, honestly...
The worrying one for me as well was the selection of captain. Now, justifiably, Alex Rance is in the side, but is he captain of the All-Australian team? And the bloke you just mentioned who didn't get in would be the prime choice for captain.
Well, him or Dangerfield.
I was furious that Kennedy wasn't in there, and as much so, I hope he comes out and, well, I hope they don't beat Adelaide, but if he makes it to the grand final, he's probably going to be Norm Smith again.
I'm furious. I'm furious. Absolutely furious that Big Sauce didn't make it here.
Sauce Jacobs is the other one.
Well, he had his best year ever.
No doubt.
Best year ever. He's been dominant. And look, Paddy Ryder had a great year. No doubt about that. but they both deserve to be in there. Source should never have ever been left out of that All-Australian side.
And those selectors are going to say we're picking the team based on their positions, but Ben Brown, okay, kicks a lot of goals, but if you want to pick a team, you can pick Paddy Ryder as a forward pocket and Source to ruck.
Exactly.
And either, and I still debate whether or not Source has had a better year than Paddy Ryder.
Oh, he's had a wonderful year, Source. He's been dominating every game.
It's a tough call. But then Joel Selwood.
Oh, how did he get in? Look, he's a wonderful player. No doubt about that. But he hasn't had the year that he's had previously, I don't think. Not by a long shot. Look, folks.
Across the other board, though, the other players, you've had a pretty good look, Cage. I mean, it wouldn't be easy. Let's put it that way.
Sloaney stiff.
I think Sloaney was stiffer than Warren Treadway's wallet, let me tell you, because
stiffs his wallet.
You can get tagged every week and still perform. Now, he did his best as far as getting tagged. Some of those players who were racking up plenty of possessions would not have made it in that side if they were getting tagged. Mm. And Matty Crouch was the beneficiary who deserved to be in there,
no doubt about that.
Beneficiary of Sloaney's sacrificial work at stoppages and blocking and getting someone sitting in his back pocket. But still had a good enough year. And if he comes out and wins the Brownlow, it's going to make him look silly because he'll be the first player, I think, since Prittis to do it.
Yeah, I reckon Source Jacobs is absolutely...
Throw it open on Twitter as well so you can get on board there if you don't want to give us a bell and you're a bit shy. But otherwise, give us a call at 133353. Give us a buzz. Yep,
lines are open and we've got a great prize for you. A free for the best caller, a free pass to the Royal Adelaide Show. Give us a call, folks.
They're hot property. We'll take your calls next. It's Dead Set Legends, 104.7, Triple M.
These Biggles go to the phones.
On a Twitter feed, we've got a couple of people straight away on the button as well. Ali Leneth reckons that KG, Sel was playing better footy than Danger in the first 12 to 15 rounds.
He's missed the last five weeks.
And Saw should have been before Ryder, so she agrees with you. And Chris Gussett reckons that Sloan, stiff or not stiff, non-impactful in too many games after being tagged. Also being tagged is not a merit for selection. Nice point, Chris. We go to Mark from Meadows. How are you, Mark?
Good spot, Meadows. G'day, Mark.
Morning, boys. How you doing, Art?
Yeah, what's it like at Meadows? Nice?
Nah, beautiful, mate. Lovely morning.
Yeah, it's a lovely spot. Nah.
Nah, boys, I just want to talk about the old Source Jacob one, I reckon.
Yep.
I think Paddy and Source probably had a pretty even year until they hit the showdown, I would have thought. When Source comes out, bangs two and has 42 hit-outs and embarrasses Ryder, that's his spot.
Well, I would have thought so. Look, there's no doubt Paddy Ryder, Mark, had a very good year, and his role on the side was partly responsible for Port contesting the finals. But Source did putting it crudely, he smashed him in the showdown.
It's going to be a standoff between Port and Adelaide supporters. You have to go to the statistics for those two. Mark, who do you back for? You're obviously a Crows man.
Yeah, I'm a Crows man, I am. But, I just thought he's had just a phenomenal year.
Well,
big time.
If you go to the stats, then Source wins.
True.
Yeah, correct.
Goal, but more scoreboard impact for Paddy Ryder. Hey, great start, Mark. Yeah, you're in the running for those two tickets to the Adelaide Show.
Good on you, Mark.
Shannon from Collinswood. How are you, mate?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I should
good
say.
Shannon. Yeah,
good, Shannon.
I'm just ringing up more so on the South Australian inclusion for the All-Australian team.
Yeah.
I heard KG... announced it on the Rush Hour with Jars the other day, and he mentioned the Crows first of all, the three players, but then he didn't even mention Paul. He just said, it was Robbie Gray and what's his name?
Paddy Ryder
as an afterthought.
No, that's not fair, Shannon.
You're being biased, Kate.
I'm a Crow supporter. But I did mention Robbie Gray and Paddy Ryder in the same breath I mentioned the Crows.
Well, Shannon reckons you didn't.
Well, that's Shannon's wrong.
You're very biased, and whenever you mention the Crows and the Port teams, it's always the Crows first.
Oh,
good
Shannon.
Stuff, Shannon. I like it when you stir the spot.
Aren't we being a bit pedantic, Shannon?
No, you do it all the time. All the time you do it.
Well, who cares if you mention them first or second, as long as they get mentioned, Shannon, surely.
But you should be on a biased platform, but you're not.
No, well, I'm not. Shannon, I'd be telling a lie to you and our listeners if I said I wasn't a passionate Crow supporter when I truly am.
Mm, fair call.
And I give Port Adelaide. You haven't said, Shannon, that I've said on this program a million times that Kenny Hinckley is fantastic for football. His press conferences are the best. You've never come on and mentioned that, Shannon. Have you heard me say that?
Oh, all the time.
Thank you.
But I'm not disputing that. What I'm disputing is
when you can't have it both ways.
When you bring up Paddy Ryder, in your next breath, you said, "Oh, well, Storr should have got it."
Well, yeah, well, that's my view. I'm not because
exactly right. That's exactly right. You're not on a neutral platform.
Yes, Shannon, I am. I honestly believe that if you look at the stats, Source gets in.
But that's your opinion.
Well, cool. That's what I'm here to do, give an opinion, Shannon.
I might have to break up this. Great point, Shannon. I like your parochial opinion. Good stuff. Thanks for calling. You're in the running for two tickets to the Royal Show. I'm going to have to break up this bout because we've got too many calls. Daniel from Manopara. How are you, Daniel?
How are you, guys?
Good, Daniel.
You're a bit fired up this morning, Cage.
No, I'm all right, man. I'm good. I was good until Shannon phoned.
Nah. Hey, my take, gentlemen, we have this debate every year, and I think it's fun. It's a bit of banter. It's what you have a crack at.
Yeah. But
my sort of thinking of the Brownlow medal is succinct. It's best and fairest. We don't really argue that. We argue everything else.
Yep.
Why don't the people that have selected it just come out and go, hey, we picked Ryder over Jacobs for this reason. I'm a Hawthorn supporter, so I would have thought McAvoy had a pretty good year.
And like a press conference. For
kind of thing, but just make them, I don't say it's a cannibal thing, just go look at them and go, okay, why did you pick them? Because we're picking a team to play. So I just think that's sort of a better idea to justify what they've done instead of just being in closed doors and we only find out who they are when they make select the team.
Did you like the team?
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. It's a team that will compete, and if we put it on the park against Ireland, we'll bloody hope we belt them if we play them.
Yeah, fair call. Good on you, Daniel. Yeah.
Well done. Hey, Josh from Atherston. Morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, well, guys. How are you?
Good. Josh.
Yeah, look, my main problem with the All-Australian team was the inclusion of Zach Merritt on a wing, probably
that.
For another a specialist wingman, and probably Joel Selwood definitely didn't deserve that bench spot. I would have thought Josh Kennedy gets in.
Yep.
Josh Kennedy gets the captaincy. But someone like Tom Scully, who's like a renowned gut runner, he just moves up and down all day. Surely there's still room for a wingman on the wing. Like, that didn't really sit well with me.
Fair enough.
You're spot on. I reckon there are a couple of journalists agreed with you in that wing position across the other side, Scully or Josh Kelly across a wing.
Yeah, well, I thought Kelly was fair enough because he wins a lot of his ball uncontested. He's like elite for uncontested possession. So fair enough, him on a wing. But Zach Merritt is like Essendon's centre bounce man. So that just didn't really make a lot of sense for me. I would have thought even someone like Rory Sloan, well, he started getting tagged, so he got moved out of the centre bounces. He started playing half forward a little, you know, a bit on a wing. I'd have thought someone like him would have been a better inclusion, but yeah.
Spot on.
Fair enough.
That's an educated decision. Obviously, Tom Mitchell in there as well that goes with Dusty Martin and Danger. Yeah. And I think Sloaney's right, should have been right alongside of them. And Kennedy in there as well on the bench should have been captain.
Mm.
We'll pick Treaders' mind this week and hopefully get some more information out of him as to why he made these decisions. Yeah, no doubt Glenn Jakovich got more West Coast players in there than probably there should have been.
Yeah, exactly.
They're finishing eighth and they've got three in there. He's got a bit of power, old Jacko. And Treaders obviously getting his two boys in there in Gray and also Paddy Ryder. One of the favourite times of the week of the Triple M family when KG, well, actually, most favourite for your daughter, Sally, because she's sick of you whining to her,
KG.
Yeah,
she told me that this morning.
And she said, how about you just go and tell the public and telling me every bloody day about what is getting up your goat at
love
the moment.
Yourself.
And
love
so this is where we load up a few topics on the chocolate wheel with the Adelaide Casino. We give it a rip. Whatever it lands on, you get to pick. There's our first trial spin. The topics today are the media announcement on Dustin Martin, the Knees of Fury fight, which is happening with a 15-year-old versus a 23-year-old kickboxer, the bye in the AFL finals, the Australian cricket team, the All-Australian selectors, and we didn't tell you, we just spun it. But
that's all right. She was just all in her up.
We'll give another one now on the left hand. Give it a rip and see what it lands on. Then KG is going to unload everything which he has. And has landed on the bye in the AFL at the moment,
well,
Coach.
Well, Biggles, what about this week? I woke up this morning and think, oh, beautiful footy. No AFL footy, a bye. As a supporter, who wants a bloody bye, for goodness sake? We're after a sensational topsy-turvy season with both sides, both Adelaide sides into the major round, I want to see AFL football. I don't know whose idea this is. It's obviously the AFL, but the idea, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, is bloody stupid.
Yeah, it's like a premature release, isn't
it?
You get all this build-up, you get excited, you get really happy.
We've had a great season.
And then,
boom.
You get a little fizzle.
I'm gone.
Anyway,
I'm dead.
Good start, Cage. Let's give it a spin. Other topics in regards to Dustin Martin's media announcement. or the All-Australian selectors and has landed on the Australian cricket team.
Well, what about our cricketers? The Australian cricket team, with all due respect, they've been humiliated by Bangladesh, and I take nothing away from Bangladesh, but I never, ever thought I'd see this day arrive. The selectors got it wrong. Matthew Wade, our keeper, must go. He simply cannot keep wickets. Khawaja simply can't play spin. He's got to go. Glenn Maxwell promises so much but doesn't deliver
the
enough.
The big show.
The big show. It doesn't deliver anywhere near enough. And now they send Stephen O'Keefe as a replacement over there for Josh Hazlewood. He's not good enough. Fair dinkum. We are the laughing stock of international cricket. Not good.
Not anywhere near our ranking where we should be. Give it another rep here, Timmy. Last remaining topics, the Mesa Fury fight, which is a kickboxing match, 15-year-old up against 23-year-old, and it has landed on the All-Australian selectors, Cage.
Yeah, can someone tell me how Big Sauce, Sam Jacobs, couldn't make the All-Australian side?
Really rattled about
this. A moment
this.
Ago, it's a joke. He's no doubt had his best season ever. Stats don't lie. For him not to be even make the bench is an absolute disgrace. Now, look, before I go, I'm not finished yet.
Oh, there's still more in the tank.
Yeah, this. I'm very upset about this. On the front page of today's Advertiser.
Oh, I didn't land on this one, but you still want to have a crack at it.
I do. Young Layla Dixon has just turned 15 and tonight steps into a kickboxing ring against an opponent 8 years her elder. She fights tonight as an adult. Now, honestly, a 15-year-old schoolgirl fighting a 23-year-old adult in kickboxing, I find that quite distasteful, to be honest, and dangerous. In fact, the medical experts say the fight should be stopped, and I'm definitely in their corner. Her parents are her parents, but if that was my daughter, there's no way known she would step into a ring fighting an adult in kickboxing. I don't like it one little bit.
Mesa Fury on tonight. I've been there before and would concern me as a parent also. Hey, that was a great wheel of wine, KG. Well done.
Brutal.
Not bad at all. I'll read that about 7 out of 10 for you. Good stuff.
Good.
Stick around. Marty Matner, the coach of the Sturt Footy Club, just around the corner to determine how they're going to decipher Port Adelaide
today.
So Matty Martin will join us a little later.
What's his name, Kate?
Taking the mickey out of me.
What's his name?
His name is Matty Martin.
Matty Martin, is it?
Yeah. So Matty Martin will join us a little later.
Oh, if he's listening, he's got a new name. Marty Matner the Moose around the corner.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. KG and Biggles, 104.7. Saturday's Triple M.
With the big signings this week, Cage.
Yep.
First of all, we'll go to Dustin Martin and about how that was handled. And in particular, obviously the media had so much speculation around this signing for such a long period of time. The Tigers are, you know, such a powerful club in Melbourne.
My word, they are.
With the following they have. So it was always going to be speculation, and particularly when he's probably going to win the Brownlow.
Well, I was working with Jars during the week, before that was...
Jars was the one who said he was coming to Adelaide.
Well, yeah.
So I don't believe anything he says.
No, but the speculation was rife. In fact, we had it on Triple M that the announcement was going to be made that night on the footy show, and that he was obviously staying with Richmond, but fair dinkum. Honestly, it was a bit of a circus the way that was
done. Yeah, I'm with you.
But full marks to Dusty Martin for knocking or turning his back on $2 million. I thought he showed some fair dinkum loyalty. Well done to Dusty, but it was like a bloody circus, honestly.
We did get a grab from it where I liked his comments in regards to, well, treating Richmond like a girlfriend.
The Richmond Football Club, they've been great to me and we're on an incredible journey together, and I've just got such great relationships at that football club, and I think
still $2 million though.
Yeah, hopefully I can make it up somehow.
Were you ever close to going?
Yeah, I certainly thought about it. It was a stressful year, believe it or not. I was kind of wrestling with myself, and so yeah, the relationships I got there are far more important.
And full marks to him.
Not the one that we're after, but I reckon Timmy...
That was him staying at Richmond.
He's close. He's happy to stay in there.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I was cheating on a girlfriend or something. It was weird, but... Yeah.
But I thought he handled himself superbly. And to turn his back on $2 million to stay loyal to the Richmond Football Club, I thought that was absolutely superb.
Sometimes Cage Clubs point these announcements to their website to drive traffic to their website. Yeah. This was probably gone the other way. I'm not sure if it was worth the money.
It was like a circus.
Yeah, it was a bit over the top, but he is one of the best players in the competition
allegedly,
at the moment.
They paid him $50,000. Now, big as I ask you.
Good on him cashing in, I suppose. Not that he needs it.
But 50, he just signed a multi-million dollar contract. Honestly.
The direction of where they push these announcements is interesting. Is it at the website? Is it a press conference? Is it a dash for cash like he did there? But I really love the way in which the Adelaide Footy Club went about it with Mitch McGovern. Now, there were a lot of people here involved in the media, and certainly in particular in Western Australia and Melbourne, who were gunning for him to leave and having a crack at the Adelaide Football Club culture about retaining players from interstate. Yep. And I think this was a line in the sand where they said, no, we can look after our own. We will encourage them to be here, and we're on to some stronger and more successful things. And here's Mitch on his re-signing.
Considering other options, it was pretty difficult, obviously, to go home. And there was quite a few options available. And I think this is the best for my career going forward and where we are today.
That's a huge signing for the Crows. Now, where does that leave young Jake Lever? Mitch signing and no announcements from Jake, does it sort of indicate that he's going?
They're doing some good things behind closed doors. Justin Reid and the list management group are really keeping cards close to their chest.
What's
and
your
not
gut feeling?
Leaking. Oh, I think he's got to stay depending on how the finals play out. If we have a deplorable final, if Adelaide, I should say, have a deplorable final series, that can have an impact. But if they go really deep into September and the grand final beckons and put on a good performance, that can completely change a player's opinion about where he sees his club and how strong they're going to be in future years.
Well, his best chance, Jake Lever, of playing in a premiership is definitely with Adelaide, without a shadow of a doubt.
We see it week in, week out, but family is a big pull, and no doubt in regards to cash as well, has a huge impact
well
on
done
a player's
to Dusty
career.
Martin. Well done to Mitch McGovern. A bit of loyalty coming back into the game of footy, which is great.
The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the 1-hour express service.
Triple M.